Thank you. shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Good to us, God. You've been so kind to us, God. We can't even fathom how great your love is for us. In 1 John 3, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. You know, my favorite parable that Jesus told, and maybe my favorite story in the Bible, the prodigal son. That son broke his father's heart, asked for his inheritance before the father even died, went and just blew his money in worldly things, finds himself literally among pigs. That would have been even grosser for them than it would have been for us, because they consider pigs unclean. So my favorite part of the story is the father. He sees the son in the distance. And, you know, the father could have said, hey, he could have turned his back from him. Oh, there's that son again. He could have made his son beg for forgiveness, but it says he ran to him. You know, he saw his son in the distance and he ran to him. That's what God does for us. He's that father. He runs to us. Amen. Maybe you've let yourself get off in the distance, or maybe you're even finding yourself in that pigsty. You know, God is not angry with you. He's heartbroken maybe, but he is not waiting for you to beg to come back. But just like that son, you know your place is with the Father. You are a son or daughter of God. Let him run to you this morning. Let him lavish his love on you this morning. He leaves the 99 and comes after you. How great is that love? Let's pray. God, right now, God, I pray that you would lavish your love on each one here. God, that you would remind them that you chase after them, you run after them, that we don't deserve your love that you have for us, God. God, I pray that you would reveal that love to each one here in an even greater way. God, if they're in the pigsty, God, that we would bring them out, God, that they would know today is the last day that they belong there. They belong with you. Their Father, God. We just love you and thank you for that love. In your name we pray. Amen. Can you just give God a hand of praise? We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. There's no love like the Father's. Amen. You could be seated. We're so glad that you have joined us today. If you are a guest, we'd like to welcome you. After the service, if you would make your way to the table, we have a gift for you as our guest. Today is our first Fifth Family Sunday. It's important to us that we also worship together as a family. And so on the Fifth Sundays, which is only once every few months, we will be worshiping together as a family. We are almost, we're gearing up now for Vacation Bible School. That's coming up in July. That will be July 12th through the 16th. And we need your help. Our kids didn't get to experience this last summer. We're so excited to be able to gear back up for this. We have a short promo video that we would like to show you about our treasured Vacation Bible School.
Get ready.
I am a priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort.
To embark on an epic quest.
Nothing better, forgiven and chosen forever.
And discover God's greatest treasure.
I am a treasure.
What a message that we get to share with our kids, that they are treasured by God. They're God's treasure. If you would like to get to be a part of this, whether it's that week or even in the weeks leading up, helping us get ready, please see me. I'll be right over here. You can help one night, you can help two nights, you can help five nights, however you can help. We would love to have you be a part of just pouring into our kids' lives, not just our kids in the church, but our kids in the community, to remind them that they're God's treasure. At this time, we're going to have our offering. You can make your way to the buckets as Krista joins us and sings in song. Let's pray over the offering. God, I thank you for your provision. God, I pray for this offering that would use it for your glory. In your name we pray, amen.
Feel. And there I find you in
His. Amen. Pastor Ted and Kathy Stricker are serving in ministry here at CSIC on the ministry team, and also they teach biblical health and wellness on Wednesday nights. Pastor Ted is going to minister to us today as Pastor Wallace and Joy are serving at our church in Englehart. Pastor Ted, if you'll make your way forward. Let's give him a hand of welcome. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't look at my notes at how many I brought up here. So Pastor said I could go to 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon if I wanted to. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God is good. My name is Pastor Ted and my wife is Kathy. And we just love it here. I used to be a pastor about 10 years ago. I retired. Well, retired from that church. And we floated around. We've seen a lot of praise and worship teams, a lot of churches, but we fell in love with a Husky church here at the Carpenter Church. And we are blessed to have the talent. And Pastor Bernie, who preached 2 weeks ago, was excellent. And anyone who missed Wednesday night, you missed a healing in Jesus' name. You missed a message in Jesus' name. Because many people, you know, always say, you know, you look like somebody, you know, and they say, first off, it's story, you look like Bill Clinton. And then next thing, you know, it was the guy, the star in NCIS, Mark Harmon. And then we were down in Florida, and we started touring and just looking, taking a short vacation. And we went into this one place, and a lady kept looking out over at us, and she said, I know you. I know you. And I said, hi. You know, so I didn't know who she thought I was. And then at another location, we walked, you know, and we walked in through the park, and somebody says, hey, I know you, Mr. Florida. You're Mr. Florida. And I, hello, how are you? Actually, I don't even know who I am now. But you know what? I want people to see Jesus in me. I don't want them to see Mark Harmon. I don't want to see any of those. I want people to see Jesus in me. But I want to look out and see Jesus in you, too. I want to look out and see Jesus and filling up you. You know, we want to welcome our friends and family from Pakistan and India. And I believe that this message is also for you. So I just pray that you will open up your ears and open up our hearts like us. In Jesus' name. I want to thank Pastor Wallace for giving me the opportunity to come and share at Carpenter Church, you know. And also, we are blessed to have them. Pastor Joy, we are so blessed. You don't have a... Since I've been involved here, I'm amazed the things that he does. And every day, it seems like he's always here. And if it's not food, it's packing food, things that's behind the scenes that you don't even know. But we are blessed to have him. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for you. I hope that I can walk out of here without any tomatoes thrown at me or anything. But I just want to preach. I just want to tell how much I love the Lord. And my memory is not the best. Please forgive me. You know, I cannot remember names. My wife is excellent at remembering names, but I cannot remember names. I have a hard time remembering anything, come to think of it. But you know what? I was going to send for a memory course once, but actually I forgot to send for it. So, you know, I can't really... Ain't that just like the enemy? Amen. Just they doesn't let me talk about Joel. But anyway, men's fellowship. Last month at men's fellowship at 9 o'clock, it was really awesome. But since then, I know Joel has an anointing coming up on this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. And I encourage all men to be there. He's going to have a blessed word for all of us men, and I just encourage you men, and also the ladies, get involved in ladies ministry too. But someone asked me, they said, well, are you going to go to the men's fellowship Saturday? And I said no. Only the reason is because we will not be home. We're going to see our granddaughter in Texas, so in Tennessee. But we just want to thank you. My message is going to be on power, fear, and persistence. But before I start, today, this weekend, is a federal holiday, actually. We honor our military personnel who died doing their military duties. Freedom gives us the freedom to sit in this sanctuary, freedom to sing, freedom to fellowship, to worship God, our Creator, with no restrictions from the government so far. We have that faith. We're going to continue to serve the Lord, and you know, nothing can stand against us. It's a blessing that we take for granted many times, that we have that freedom. I believe God blessed us here in the United States of America. We have the freedom to turn everything around. We have the freedom and the prayer to turn what the devil tries to do into God's glory. Some of them are government officials. They're not following God's word. They're doing their own thing. They're doing what they want to do. They don't even look out for our people. And I did say some, but I'm not sure if I wanted to say most. But anyway, some judges are not turning to God. Amen. They're allowing same-sex marriages. Two confused people trying to play family. Amen? It's abortion. You know, it's against the law to kill Canadian geese or spotted owls, but it's okay to murder innocent babies. We still have the freedom to pray and to ask God to remove those ones who are not following his word, the Bible. Amen? Back in the day when I used to work at in a factory, I did not vote for who they wanted me to vote for, the union that was. And they came to me, and they said, we see that you're not voting for who we want in there. And I said, looked at them, and I said, well, I vote for the person, not the party. If they believe in abortion, if they believe in same-sex marriages, they believe in men can go into ladies' bathroom, they're not getting my vote. What they said to me was, We don't care about those issues. We only care about your paycheck. We care about your pension. We care about your family. I said, well, if you would honor what I just mentioned, all that will be coming to us anyway. You get the right people in there, amen? And right away, you know, we're going to have, my pension will be there anyway. God will watch over us. He will protect us. When we pray, God will give us Christians, power. Do you believe that? But we should never use the power out of the contents of God or the character of God. Amen. Never out of the character of God. Pastor, why don't I have power that God wants to give me? In James 4:2, ye have not because you ask not. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in his glory. We don't add, we don't believe that God's going to do and say what the word of God says. A lot of times we just get off of track. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You heard that many, many times. And that's so true. You might be fired up for the Lord one day, and all of a sudden the devil will get in there and he'll attack you, or he'll say something that'll change your mind totally, and then you're off track because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So many of us listen to those little demons that's in us. God won't give you the power. He only gives them to pastors, or he only gives them to evangelists, or he only gives them to missionaries. That's all. That's a lie, and don't believe it. In Acts 10:34, it says, God is no respecter of persons. We need to read the word of God and to soak it in. And a lot of people say, well, I don't need to read the Bible. I'll just come to church, or I'll just come Wednesday nights. And, you know, but what's the word of God saying in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Oh, it's all right if we go read those magazines, you know everything about the movie stars and who got divorced and who got separated or what's going on. Amen? And for lack of knowledge, it's okay that we say, well, I listen to CNN, I listen to Fox. You know, I want to pray for you for that if you're listening to them. Because the devil will come, kill, and destroy you if you keep listening to them. Why are we allowing the enemy to rob us what God has given us? Could it also be fear? Could it also be fear? But before I wanted to get into that, I want to stay on power. Power is for everyone who believes. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he wants to give us power. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Amen. It's not just for the Jewish people. It's for all people. It says the power for everyone. You are everyone. I am everyone. That's what we need, the power of God to come into our lives to fight off the enemy, trying to wreck our marriages and try to stop us from coming to church and worshiping. We need the power of him, of God. Jesus died on that cross for us, for we can have that power. But most people think they have the power coming from somewhere else. They think, well, I have power. There was a Christian farmer, and his whole family was Christian, Bible-believing Christians. And he was out doing in the field someday at some one of the times, and all of a sudden he looked down the road, and here comes a truck coming down the road. And this guy gets out of the truck, and he's a government official. And he looks at his badge, he shows the badge to the farmer, and he says, this gives me the power to go anywhere I want, and I want to go in your house, I want to go in your barn, I want to go all over your fields, because this gives me the power to do that. And the Christian farmer said, what are you looking for? He said, there's stuff growing that should not be growing and stored, should not be stored. So the Christian farmer said, well, we're Christians. We would never do that. And the government official says, well, I bet you even talk to your animals, don't you? Christian said, yes, I do. And they listen to me, too. Well, the government official, he started looking around, and all of a sudden the farmer stopped me and says, wait, whatever you do, don't go into the south pasture. Right away, he sticks that badge in front of his face, and he says, this gives me the power to go anywhere I want. All right, he said. So about 25 minutes went by, and all of a sudden he heard, help, help. So he ran over to the south gate, and he got on the bench, and he looks up. Just as the big old bulls about to ram the government official. So the farmer yelled out, show him your badge, show him your badge. Yeah, there's no power there. I guess you got the point to that, right? That government official relied on his own power, power that he got from the government. That he thought he had. His power came from within. But where do we get our power from? As Christians, we get our power comes from God Almighty. Amen. Now, some of the younger ones won't know this song. I think we ought to start singing it right now. Remember this song. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. That's enough. I won't go no further with my singing. I cannot go any further with that. But maybe the team could do it later on or whatever. But the enemy does not want you to have power that God has for you. He has that power. A lot of times we believe that God says, you know, it's not for you. It's not for you. Why are we allowing the enemy to rob us what God has for us? Could it be the fear? Could it be fear? Why are we allowing fear to come into our thinking or to our lives? I bought my wife a wall plaque one time. And we hung it up on the wall. And a lot of times I'll look at it. And that says, let your faith be bigger than your fear. Amen? We see it. I looked at it. I had to look at it this morning, actually. A little bit of fear. Not fear, but concern. Concern that, you know, it's been 10 years since the last time I've been on a platform, but 10 years since I retired from my church. I didn't retire, only retired from the church. And then we came here and we found this. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Most people have a lot of fear. You know, they fear they will lose their jobs. Fear that the money will run out before the end of the week does. They have that so much fear. Fear when telling someone about Jesus. They won't know what to say. Well, let the Holy Spirit just share with them. When God opens that door, don't close that door. He's opening the door because he wants that person to know about his son, Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we have that fear and say, well, I don't know what to say. Just start. And right away the words will come to you. Because the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit that's in you will manifest out of you. And you will hear and say what to say. It's true. We did it so many times. Or you fear when you pray for someone for healing. That person's not going to get healed. That person's not going to get saved. Still do it. Be bold. Step out. No matter where you're at. Kathy and I, we look for people to pray for. We look for people to lay our hands on. We live on a short block in Eatonton, and we just happened yesterday or the day before, we just happened to walk by or ride by, and there was a lady laying on the ground in her driveway with her husband holding her up. So I said, we need to go back. I backed up. We need to pray for her. She fell, and she was waiting for the ambulance to come. And we've been there at least, well, they said they've been there 15 minutes, and we've been there for a little bit with them. And I don't know where the ambulance was, but gave us enough opportunity to pray. Amen. And they believed in the Lord, and they believed in God, you know. And so we prayed. We stopped and prayed. I didn't know them until now. I know now. Right now we're praying for Linda in the name of Jesus to heal her ankle. That's all you have to do. Just go down and say who you are. Say, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God can touch you and heal you. And I don't know if she got up and started walking or what happened. I don't know anything. That's God's part. We did our part, amen? We did our part and feel the power going through us into them. And right away, you know, we had that healing touch going into them. And that's all you need to do. Don't have fear come into your life because of that. You're going to miss out on so much blessing when you allow fear to come in. A lot of times, you know, we think that we can't do that. You know, when I first started preaching, I said, well, I can't do that. I don't even know half the words. I don't even know if my English is correct. And I wasn't going to say that because now you'll be listening to me and see if what words I mess up. Oh, there'll be plenty. There'll be plenty of words. That's why I tell my wife, I'm an incompoop. She says, you're not an incompoop, you're a nincompoop. And I said, well, I just call myself an incompoop sometimes. But I know who I am in the Lord, amen? He doesn't call me that. He calls me a child of God because I want to be faithful to him. I want to be faithful to what he has for us to do. Amen, amen, amen. We have two geese that we named. I guess they came with the property because they hang around. And I guess you all have some geese. But we named ours Gertrude and Eclipse. And we started feeding them. And people say, you know, you don't want to feed them. If you do, just do a little. You're going to have a lot of flock here. Well, these two, they kept getting closer and closer to me anyway. And I was feeding them only in the mornings, you know. Well, the problem is now they had babies. They had six babies. Now we have eight coming into our. Now, the problem is now is when I feed them, the babies have no fear. So they'll come coming run up to me, but I look at the mom and dad, and they're not liking it. Now, I don't have fear against them, but I do have a concern. Because what side are they going to be on? Their baby's side or my side? You know, and sometimes I stop feeding them now, because all of a sudden now they must have invited their cousins and uncles, and now we have a whole flock of them, and I'm not feeding them. But you know what? I said, no, enough is enough. And I'm out there, and I say to them, you two and your babies can stay, but the rest of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you must go. And I took another step. In the name of, you can stay, but the rest of you, you know what? They went. All of them went, but mine, my six, eight stayed. But now I'm casting them out too. So I evicted them. I don't know. I don't want them no longer. You know that it's a mess when you're trying to clean up. And after I could not trust them any longer. But anyway, I was glad the other ones all left. They still tried to come up. And sometimes when they see me, and I'm nice to them, just because I, in the name of Jesus, you must leave. And I felt that power. I felt that power over them. You know. And I did not have that fear, but I did have that concern because of them. I felt the power. I believe in Jesus. Why don't we believe that we have the same power Jesus did when he walked this earth, or the same power that he has? Jesus calmed the storms. He raised the dead. He commanded the demons to leave. Jesus had power to heal the blind, the deaf, to hear, to hear people, and told others to get up and walk. You may say, yes, Pastor, but that's Jesus. That's God in the flesh. You know, many Christians are by name only. You know, there was a boy who was walking his dog, and it was a mangy dog. It was an old dog, very mangy looking, and he loved that dog, and he walked down the street with it, you know. And someday, one of the guys came up to him and says, hey, son, what kind of dog is that? And he looked at it, he said, well, that's a police dog. He says, well, son, he says, I know my breeds of dogs. And he said, that's no police dog. The little boy said, he's in the Secret Service. how many of us are in the Secret Service? And I have to admit, sometimes I don't think people would even know that that at least Jesus is in my life, that I'm not a Christian. When I'm busy working outside in the yard, chasing the geese away, I keep saying, I should be doing God's work. I should be doing what he is calling me to do. You know, but I always have that smile on my face. I love that smile. And I love when people say to me, why are you always smiling? And you know, I say, because I'm happy, because I have Jesus in me. You know, and it's much easier than North Carolina. You go up north sometime and try that. They'll be okay to you, but I mean, it's a different feeling down here. It's a different atmosphere. It's more, you know, I wanted to move down south all my life. You know, and a place where I lived, and, you know, I even tried to go to, you know, southern Pennsylvania just to say I want to move south. But that didn't work. And finally, you know, I left my church. I retired, and my wife gave up her business, and we moved down here, and we love it. We love it. Your people are so open. Your people are so great, you know. And I think it's easier here to share Jesus Christ with people than up north. They're more open here. They more expect things here. You know, so many of us, we're blessed. We're so blessed. God wants us to use us, but we need to be opened and ready. And I'll guarantee you, you will see the power of God. You say, how do you know? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power. Now look how many times it says you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You, in that scripture, means you and me. Why are we so fearful? Why are we so afraid to share Jesus Christ? Why aren't we opened to share him? It also says in Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria also means Ahoski, Edenton, and everywhere. No matter where you go, if you're on a mission trip, share Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that we are living in the last days. In the end times, because the Bible says in Acts 2, 17 and 18, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. In those days, they will prophesy. I don't know where I fall in that. If I'm going to see some dreams or am I going to see some visions? Because I don't consider myself old. Amen? Amen? And none of you should consider yourself old. It's only a number. Amen? Amen. Man. I bet you, you know, if they played the right worship, you'd be get up and jump. When the Holy Spirit jumps on you, you're going to get up. I don't care if you're 90 years old. You can get up and you can run these aisles. Because the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, is here. But all you got to do is accept it and believe. Believe in that. And so many of us don't want to do that. So many of us don't want to say, I just want to be a Secret Service Christian. You know, and we don't need to be like that. We don't need to live like that. Jesus used that picture on the mountain because nothing is impossible to God. Amen. And I'll get to that in a minute with that scripture. But your sons and daughters will prophesy. When God pours out his spirit, we will have that anointing power. When he pours out, it's pouring out. I believe it's pouring out in this sanctuary today. It started off on Wednesday, and I believe it's coming to a Husky in this church. I believe with Pastor Wallace leading us, we're going to see a revival in this church. Are you ready for a revival in this church? Are you ready to soak up the power? When people come in, they're going to feel the power going into them right now. We're going to hear people speaking in tongues. We're going to hear people falling out in the Spirit. We're going to feel all that. When you get that feeling in you, you go to a picnic with family members there, and they're going to see you, and they're going to think something changed, something happened. And they're going to say, wow, what is it? I love Jesus. I got his power. Is there something I can share with you? Is there something I could pray for you? Is there something I can do for you? Do you need anything at all? I'm here for you. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt, there's the big word, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what I say will happen, and it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Jesus used that picture of a mountain to be moved because it's nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible. You must be a believer, though. You must not hold any grudges or any selfish motives, and it must be for God's kingdom. It must be for his interest, not your interest. Amen? So many times we pray for cars. You know, I want a big fancy car. You know, and I want to, you know, I need this, a big home. You don't need any of that. But God is gracious. He could give it to you. But we need to pray for salvation for people. We need to pray for healing for people. We need to pray for the deliverance of people. You know, you can heal someone, and they can still go to hell. Amen? We need to give that salvation. That's what opens the door. The disciples, Jesus told the disciples to go out and share the good news, to heal people, to cast out devils, to cast out demons, to teach people. So they went out, and they did it to the next generation, and then the next generation, and the next generation, until it's finally up to here, our generation. That's what we still should be doing, teaching, preaching, telling people about Jesus, and laying hands on them, and laying hands and believing. Now, Pastor Mike will agree with me on this about the people in Africa and India. You know, they see many miracles. They see many healings and evil spirits and people coming out of Christ, people for Christ, to Christ. They see it because they're open. They don't have doctors like we do. They don't have that fear. The only fear they may have is from the government. But they override that because they know they're coming into a blessing. You know, and, you know, so I got connections over in India. I've been over there numerous times. I just love Indian and India people, you know, and I just pray. I was wishing that I could take a team over. I go into, I have connections over there. We go to the leprosy colonies. We go into the people who are poor, which mostly live together anyway. And, you know, I just love that area. There was a Christian bus got off one time, and I was just coming out of the leprosy colonies. And the Christian bus, you know, they were telling them all about it, you know. And I said to the pastor, well, aren't you taking them in? Oh, no, he said, no, we don't go in there. We only stay outside the wall. And I looked at him and said, well, why are you here? These people need your touch. They need your hand. They need it. I have no fear over leprosy. I have no fear. My God is stronger than leprosy. My God is stronger than cancer. My God is stronger. And they see that. The Indian people and the Pakistan people see that. And, you know, and they get healed, and they listen to it. There was a woman one time. I was over in India, and we were in their home. And my connections that I have, I just love her and or her brother. And she'll go into a home, if you call that a home, where it's just a blanket coming down as a door, and she'll knock on there, and she'll talk to them a little bit, and she'll say, Pastor, come on in. They're Muslims, but give them Jesus Christ. She's not afraid of anything. She had no fear at all, and she just opens up, and you'll be amazed how many people are open for the gospel. And I tell them that I don't add this to your other gods. This is the only true God. This is God, the Savior of the world, the God who created you, the God who wants to save you and be with him forever and ever. Amen. Don't add it to another God. There is no other God. But in that same place, there was a lady, and all of a sudden, she started crawling. She was an elderly woman, but she started crawling real fast on the ground and saying weird things, you know. And my connection quick ran over the door and shut the door, for she could not get out. And she sat over in the corner, and she had the demon in her, or demons. So I went over, and I knelt there, and I looked her straight in the face, and I said to myself, if you turn away, Pastor, you're done. You must continue to talk to her, look at her straight in the face, and say, I have more power than you, you devil. I command you to come out of her right now. And he did not like it. She kept staring at me, and I would not turn away. You cannot turn away, because then you lost your power. To try to get back would be impossible. Not impossible, because nothing's impossible for God. But you don't want to turn away. You want to look straight at her and continue, or him or her, and say, in the name of Jesus, the power of God, I command you to be released from her right now. And go where God has put you. I always say that. And go where God has put you. After a while, she broke contact eye with me. And she just sat there and limped, you know. And then I got up and I walked. And next thing you know, she just got up. And she walked over to the corner smiling. And she had no idea what happened. She didn't know anything at all what happened. There was another time when most of you people won't know. I don't know. From India, the drink is called Thumbs Up. It's made by Coca-Cola. And you cannot get it over here. Well, Indian stores you can. But it's a strong drink made by Coke. And it is good. My wife's shaking her head. But never want to tell those beautiful people over there that you love Thumbs Up or anything. Because every place you go, I don't know how the word travels, they had Thumbs Up for me every place. And I said to myself, you know, it's not right for me to refuse them. So in one day, she wasn't with me. So one day, I had 6 of them. You tell me I wasn't flying in the Holy Spirit then. I was a flying, you know. But you know what? After a while, I told my connection, no more. I cannot have no more the rest of the week now, even if I survive this. But, you know, that's how great they are. That's how great they are. Many Christians in America does not have strong faith because we're not persistent. We're not persistent. We could get down on our knees and we could pray for that person. And that person doesn't say, now get up, where's your ache? So they get up and they still have it. So many of us say, well, it's not for me. Healing ministry is not for me. It's not so. It's still from the pit. It's from the pit of hell. Do not believe that. You lay hands on that person. You're doing your part. Let God do his part. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I prayed for a young man. And his mother could not work. And he was around in his 20s. And all of a sudden, an enemy hit him. And I prayed over him. She could not work. Her husband died. She couldn't work because she couldn't leave him alone. And I had one of those thumbs up. And I said, well, this is a good way not to drink it. So I gave it to him. He actually almost stuck that bottle almost all the way down his throat because he didn't know. So I had to quick pull it out, and he drank it. And I still prayed for him. I commanded the enemy to come out of him, and I saw nothing. And I said, Lord, it's up to you. After I got home, about a month or 2 months later, My person that I know in India, they text me and said, you know that young man that you prayed for that you gave that soda to? I was thinking that he died, you know, from the soda, you know, but no. He's back to normal. She can get out and she can work. I never seen it. I don't know why God didn't show it to me. But you never know. You never know. But we have to do our part. I feel there's a revival coming in this place here at Carpenter Church. Because I think now there's going to be no more fear. There's going to be only power. But we need to continue to do it with persistence. Elisha, I think he had, this was also mentioned Wednesday a little bit. Elijah, he had power because he was persistent with Elijah. Elijah said, well, you can stay with me. And when you see me going up, you will have the same power. And he asked for a double portion of that power. He asked for a double portion of it. You know, and you see me, and Elijah tried to get rid of him. He said, in other words, in my words, get lost. Beat it. Elijah said, no, I am not leaving you. I'm not leaving. I'm staying right with you until you are taken up. That's persistence. That's what God wants us to do is be persistence. Don't stop. You do your part. Let God do his. In Mark 16, verse 15 to 18 in the New Living Bible. And then he said to them, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out devils in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Amen? They will be healed. Now, I'm up here telling you, but that's the word from Jesus. And it only wasn't for them, it was for all of us. And I can't really express how much I want you to know the love that he has for you. He has so much. I know Pastor Mike is going overseas as soon as maybe the virus lifts, or I would love to go back to India. I would love to, he would like to take people with you. I would love to take people with you and show what it's all about. Show even how they work and show how they live and what they are. We also go to orphanages. We also do different things in India. And I know it, a lot of times, you know, there could be some fear, but don't have fear, just have concern. And when I was over in India one time, I was sitting by myself. You know, one couple times I went by myself, and I was sitting there. I was watching this, I don't know if it was a Muslim parade or a Hindu. It was a Hindu parade going down the street, and I sat on the curb and watched it. Some guy came who knew perfect English. He said, if you're going to watch the parade, don't watch it from the steps. Go back further. Now, I don't know. That was safety. That was a knowledge from God, or God to tell me, listen to him. I could have stayed there. I don't know what would have happened, but I felt that God sent him to tell me to back up. And I did. I went back and I sat on the chairs, on the somebody's steps back there. And I believe that's what God does. A lot of times they'll leave me around 4 or 5 o'clock, and more or less they'll say, fend for yourself. But they know I know the area. They know that I have the Lord in me. They know I'm safe. So I just find something that decent to eat and to be with the people. That's why I go, to be with the people. I just don't want to go do my mission thing, go back to the motel and sit there. I don't want to do that. I want to be with them. I used to go across the street where the hospital was, and I'd sat on the grass with many Indian people with their family in the hospital, you know. And I sat there with them, and I talked to them, and I the best I could, and I tried to find someone who knew English. Because they're open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is America not open? We seem like we're leaving God. Seems like we're doing, not us personally, but people in America are doing their own thing. I don't need church, they say. I don't need God. I just want to do what I want to do. Well, the time is coming when it's going to be too late for them. If the praise team would come up. And you thought it was going to be a long message, didn't you? But right now, I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to cast out any demons or any devils that's in anyone or in this sanctuary. I'm going to cast them out right now. In Jesus' name, if there's any demons or devils, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I command you to leave. And no matter if you're in Pakistan or India and there's Christian groups together, I command you also to leave. My word will go there too in Jesus' name. I command it to leave. I command it right now to open up the sanctuary, Lord Jesus. Now have your fill, Lord Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. They must leave in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may say, well, why didn't you cast them out before the service? Because I wanted them to hear it too. I wanted to hear that we have the power going into us. I wanted them to hear it. But I also wanted to free us right now. If you'd stand to your feet. God is good. All the time. Amen, amen, amen. Love to hear that. And what I'm going to do right now, you have the, what I do, the doing the message, you have that power. If you have sickness in your body, I want you to put your hand on your sickness, whatever it is. If you want to fill in for someone, and if they have heart disease, put your hand on their heart. If it's financial, put your hand on your wallet and believe and command it right now in Jesus' name to come out. No matter what it is, God is here. He gave his life not only to save us, to give us freedom to worship him, not only to save our souls, but he also gave us the healing power. So right now, as your hand is on them or someone who needs to be saved or delivered, right now is the time. Pray with power. Pray to yourselves in Jesus' name. Pray right now. I command it. I command it. Praying is good. Jesus prayed before he commanded, but then he commanded it to leave. Any cancer, any sickness, any financial problems, anything that's going on with our loved ones, I command it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ right now. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your power is going into you. Just like I'm teaching, just like I'm preaching, the power is going into you. You have just as much power as I do, Pastor Wallace. Pastor Kim, you have just as much power. Believe it. Believe it. You got it. You got it. If you feel something, if you feel that miracle today, if you feel that touch, praise the Lord. Praise God. But if you don't feel anything, wait. Be persistent with it. Because it'll come. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, if the prayer team would come up, the prayer team would come up. Anyone who needs prayer, come up to the altar. Seek the Lord. Say, ask me for that boldness. Ask me for that persistence. Come to them in Jesus' name. Let them pray over you and thank you. Thank you. Thank you, congregation. God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you must go, just leave. And you have a good Memorial Day. Remember that with the power that you have. Remember to keep your faith and be persistent. May God bless you. May God bless you over and over again. In Jesus' name we all say, amen, amen.